I want to take just a few moments this morning as we close out this series on following Jesus. And we've been looking at seven markers of a follower of Christ over the past 5 weeks. And this morning's no different. And Sylvia shared the heart of it all. I am helping someone, and someone is helping me to be a growing follower of Jesus. And this morning, just briefly, I want to talk about something you referred to. Barnabas, Paul, and Timothy. If you're unfamiliar with them, you can read about them in the New Testament, specifically in the book of Acts, and then some of the epistles, 1st and 2nd. Timothy, Galatians speaks some, Corinthians has some. There's all sorts of verses peppered all over the place about the relationship of these three men. Not necessarily with all three of them, but between Barnabas and Paul, and Paul and Timothy. And Paul, if you're not familiar with who he was, he was born in Tarsus, a seafaring town. He was trained as a religious leader and eventually became one of the religious leaders and was known as a Pharisee. He was also known as a great persecutor of the church. He was killing Christians. And so one day he was traveling to a town by the name of Damascus because he had heard of followers of Christ there and wanted to stomp that out. He was a devout Jew and believed that followers of the way, as they were called, Christians, were going about the wrong things, and he needed to step in and cause this to stop, and had the authority to go and persecute and kill Christians. And on the way there, he was blinded by a bright light, and Jesus spoke to him, and he was blinded for a number of days until a man by the name of Ananias came, sent by God, to the house that he was staying in a street called Straight, laid hands on him, prayed for him, and he received his sight again. And from that moment on, he began preaching in that town about Jesus. The persecutor of the faith, his life transformed, started preaching. And the other Jews, the religious leaders and devout Jews in that town, heard about this and sought to kill Paul. And so he escaped through a window in a basket and fled to Jerusalem. That was where the heart of the brand new baby church was at the time. That's where the apostles were. The apostles is just simply another word used in the Bible for Jesus' 12 disciples. Then 11, once Judas betrayed Jesus, and then they filled in the spot again early in the book of Acts. And so we wanted to go to see the apostles and the believers in Jerusalem to find out what to do and to seek safe harbor or whatever it may be. And through his experiences, Paul lived a life unlike anyone else we see in the whole New Testament. He planted churches, he healed people, he preached, he was a missionary, he welcomed Jewish people to the faith. He was one of the first ones to advocate on behalf of the Gentiles, all non-Jewish people, who many believing Jews didn't think could actually follow Jesus at all. He was almost killed and was persecuted throughout his life. Numerous times he came close to death at the hands of those who wanted to squash this rebellion. He wrote almost half of the New Testament books, mainly letters to people and churches. He had quite a life following Jesus. Probably no other figure in all the New Testament and no other figure in all of history has quite defined what it means to follow Jesus as him. But his life became what it was in part to one man who stepped in. His name is Barnabas. His name literally means son of consolation or son of encouragement. And our first meeting with Barnabas is early in the book of Acts. The apostles are taking up a collection. They realize there are needy and poor people who need things, and they need to share things as believers. And so they start asking people, bring money so we can help others. This is what Jesus wanted us to do. And he sells a field and gives his money. And Paul shows up on the scene in Jerusalem, wanting safe haven, wanting to be introduced to the apostles. And the believers are like, I don't think so. They heard a little bit about this guy who was going to Damascus. They knew he had already stood and watched the stoning of Stephen, another devout Christian, follower of Jesus, be stoned to death. And they were worried. They figured Paul had a big scheme to infiltrate their inner circle, find out all the names of those in Jerusalem who are following Jesus, and kill them too. And they said, no way. Along comes Barnabas, an encourager. In fact, they say he was a very commanding man. He was very tender-hearted, but just had a presence about him. That's history. So he finds Paul and he finds out his story, and he brings Paul back to the apostles, back to the believers in Jerusalem, and said, I believe him. I think his life's been transformed. He's been preaching. You should see what God's doing through him. Takes him under his wing. Eventually, the two of them go off on missions trips together and plant churches. Barnabas literally makes him his disciple, his mentor. He mentors him. Now, along the lines, Paul and Barnabas have a dispute over another traveling companion, another mentor that the two of them were trying to mentor, a young man named John Mark. And Barnabas, being son of encouragement, said, I know he deserted us before. He wants to come back. Let's take him. And Paul said, uh-uh. He deserted us once. He'll desert us again. And so Paul went one way with some traveling companions. Barnabas went another, and eventually they were reconciled later. But you find that they keep in contact with each other constantly. They're writing letters and finding out. Barnabas is keeping tabs on Paul and loves him dearly. Never lets him go, even despite dispute and reconciliation. They stay fellow workers, a team, for their whole life. Enter Timothy. We first meet Timothy on one of Paul's missionary journeys to a town called Lystra. The elders in that city spoke well of Timothy, and he was probably in his late teens. They figure 16, 17, 18, 19, when Paul first met him. Came to this town, and the elders of the town said, you should meet this young man. He's got something about him. And Paul says, yeah, I see it too. You know what? Timothy, I want to take you along with me. I want you to be a missionary too. There's a small problem, though. You're a Gentile, and most Jews who have begun following Jesus still believe you need to be a full-fledged Jew. So their relationship started a little rocky before they left on their missionary journey. Paul circumcised Timothy and took him on the way. Paul was deeply invested in Timothy's life because he knew to not do that would mean Timothy was in a world of trouble when he traveled. Paul took Timothy under his wing, and throughout all of the New Testament, you see Timothy coming in and out of Paul's life. Sometimes they served together. Sometimes Paul would send Timothy with a letter or an errand, or he'd call Timothy, said, look, I need you to come. Bring these things. I want your company. All throughout the New Testament, Paul never lets go of Timothy, and Timothy becomes one of Paul's most spoken of and dearest companions. We need to be like Paul. We need to be discipling, mentoring someone, and we need someone mentoring us. Paul's life would not have been the same without Barnabas, 100%. His life would have been very different. And Timothy, he was spoken of well. He may have ended up on missions and planting churches and things like that eventually, but certainly not with the same effectiveness and not with the same timing. It took someone with eyes outside themselves to say, it's not enough that I do my thing. It's a kingdom thing, and I want to bring others along with me. So the things I've learned, I don't hold to myself. I don't let them build myself up and allow me to look good or whatever that may be. What I'm learning, what God's planting in my life, is for others. And I can't learn all the things I have to learn unless someone else is implanting those things in me too. The term disciple comes to us in English from a Latin word that literally means learner or pupil. In Bible times, there were rabbis. The Jewish people had rabbis. In fact, Jesus is referred to as rabbi several times. And the purpose of those who followed, of the disciples, not a new term, Jesus didn't make it up, of disciples was to become like their rabbi, to be a follower, a learner. Do you need to have perfection in your spiritual life to disciple someone? Not at all. Not at all. But you do need to have some sense of spiritual maturity. Mentoring has to do with sharing your weaknesses and teaching what you've learned and walking alongside someone. We need someone who does that with us. Who is your Barnabas? Who's your Barnabas? Who's your Timothy? One of my hopes is to be able to help you better know how to disciple someone else. We can't unpack all that this morning. But over the coming months and years, to help you understand that, yeah, here's how I do it. Here's how I bring someone from baby faith to mature faith in tangible, usable, unique ways. We're each unique people. We have unique experiences. One specific hardline model is not going to work, but there's great principles that we can all learn. So one of my hopes is that, at least for now, we at least have a little tool. It's not perfect, but it's there. It's developed to give us some clarity. If you don't have one of these cards yet, they're on the back table. And this is what we've been looking at the past few weeks. Our denomination developed this about 4 years ago, really started promoting it about 2 years ago, and several churches are trying to preach this through and teach it. Not because we have word from the top, this is what you will do. When I first encountered this, I hated it. The postmodern in me said, a list? I hate a list. Don't give me a list. I don't want a list. But the more I sat with it, I realized, you know, it's vague enough that it gives us room to grow. It incorporates so many biblical truths. In order to incorporate everything, we'd have to have a pharisaical list of 384 rules. We don't want that. We don't want that. But it's defined enough that at least gives us something. How do you define a follower of Jesus? Well, here's one of the ways. Not the only way, but a way. It's someone who's begun to follow Jesus. And depending on the Spirit of Jesus in your journey, it's someone who is being sent to bless others and inviting others to follow Jesus too. It's someone who's learning to be like Jesus in attitudes and character and behavior. It's someone who's learning to love God and love others. It's someone who is learning the teachings regularly, daily, of Jesus and taking those as you communicate with God. It's someone who is helping someone else to be a growing follower of Jesus, and someone is helping them to be a growing follower of Jesus. And it's someone who is participating in a community, a family of believers who don't just meet for meeting's sake, but we're on mission. We're intentional. We have purpose and reason for gathering, why we meet at all, and why we live our lives. Not an exhaustive list, but an okay one. At least this is something you can use. I use this in a few of my relationships. Not every week, not every day, but once in a while. How are you doing with this or that? When you look at your life in relation to this point or that point, how are you doing? I'll share how I'm doing about that. Find someone you can mentor and find someone to mentor you. I've had periods in my life where I have desperately needed a mentor as a pastor. None of us are exempt. We're all equal, all of us. Just because I'm up here, we're all equal. I need mentors. You need mentors. We need to be mentoring someone. And I've had seasons of just desperation where I'm just waiting for God to put the right people in my life, and I seek it out actively. If you don't have a Barnabas, find someone. Find someone mature in their faith that you trust, who you can tell anything to, who won't betray that trust but will, as you said, with confidence and love and encouragement, bring you further than you are now. That personal touch. If you're not mentoring someone, find someone you can pray for. Some of you have bookmarks for youth. That's something we're doing again this fall before the end of the year, is to invite more people to be prayer partners for our youth. Find someone in the church here who you can be praying for, at least contacting. Find out their birthday. Find out some prayer requests. Go for coffee. Do something. Because we need each other. We are lost without each other. So how do we follow Jesus? We do all these things, and we try and incorporate all these things. Again, not an exhaustive list, but I encourage you in this. Pick one thing. As we've gone through this series, maybe you've been here for 1 week, no weeks. You can catch them online if you miss them. Find one thing over the next 2 months that you can work on till the end of the year. Don't try and do them all at once. Find one thing. And then as you set some priorities for next year, find one more that you can do. Maybe it's mentoring this week. Maybe it's learning and growing in love. Maybe it's starting to incorporate into your life a regular time where you're learning the teachings of Jesus and you're stretching your spiritual wings and growing that way. Maybe you need to get connected with others in a small group, as Randall shared. I don't know what that is, but there's one thing that you're sitting here this morning. I trust that the Holy Spirit is just tugging a little bit, and I encourage you to follow through on that, because we need to be growing followers of Jesus. God has great things for us. God wants to take you as an individual and us as a church to places we've never been. He wants to get us into circumstances and relationships that we could have never dreamed, and so that we can say, as Paul did, closing the end of his life, you know, I'm content. I know what it is to have plenty and have need. And I've had relationships, and I've seen God do great things. That's the goal. The goal is not building a big church. The goal is not bigger attendance. The goal, none of this. None of what I've preached is about programs or opportunities. It's about us as individuals, knowing that at the end of our lives, as we look back, we can say, I've been a growing follower of Jesus, and it has been good, even in the hard times, for better or for worse. Sometimes worse. Sometimes worse. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up this morning and close us off. And I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you as we close this morning and this series, Great Things. Next week, next week, Julie Prince is sharing about her trip to Tanzania. There is a ministry time at the close of the service where we'll have elders forward to anoint with oil for healing.